Gentlemen, we are the real thing. We are on morelikeradio.com. It is August 29th, 2016. We thank you for your patronage. We highly encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We are the real thing, R-E-E-L, as Dutch would say from last week's Hippo Juice show. As always, I am joined by my co-host and better half, Chris Whetton. Chris
Whetton. Hey, hey.
Chris Whetton, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Let me just preface in saying that I had originally picked a song, and we actually went into our show tonight. It seems like we always pick a lot of 90s songs. That's because I like 90s music. If you don't like it, too bad. Go make your own show and stuff. But we started off with Breathe from The Prodigy. Hey, remember The Prodigy?
Hell yeah.
Remember when electronic
Keith
music...
Mint.
Remember when electronic music was going to take over the world?
Yeah,
that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was right around that time, too. I remember having, like, a very serious conversation, I think, with Brandon, and we were like, yeah, like, I'm just not interested in anything except for electronic music right now. It lasted, like, 7 months.
Yeah,
and yeah. Like, yeah, some of it's still good. There's still some good electronic music out there.
Yeah, you gotta find it and, you know, all pick your spots.
Yeah.
Speaking of Keith Flint, by the way, Keith Flint being the lead singer.
What are the chances that Flint is his real last name?
It's probably not.
Firestarter, and his last name is Flint.
All I know is that I went to see Prodigy and Josh Wink and a bunch of other electronic bands in Miami for Ultra, 2000-2001, and we were dead front row, and he spit on us.
Nice.
Just, you know, doing Firestarter.
Firestarter, Keith Flint, Billy Kindling, Jebediah Zippo.
Just starting
all the guys in the band.
Starting fires.
Yeah.
But the reason why that song was selected for tonight was because, as we always get to the numbers, your number one movie this weekend was not Suicide Squad.
Thank God.
It was Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
Don't Breathe, within a gross of $26 million. And Suicide Squad came in second place, obviously. So, Kubo and the Two Strings, Sausage Party, and Mechanic Resurrection round out your top five, but Don't Breathe.
Mechanic Resurrection, the movie that nobody asked for a sequel to.
And yet it'll still make all kinds of money. I don't know. I mean, it didn't look like they spent a lot on the trailers, but you saw the movie basically by watching the trailers.
You did. And it's Statham, so you know what you're getting.
Yeah. Bigger.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
But why I was picking the song, and Don't Breathe, by the way, I don't know if you know this, only had a $10 million budget.
Yeah, I know. It's
and
crazy.
Already made it back.
That's the thing about horror movies in terms of, like, budgets and money making. Like, and that's why I think a lot of sort of up and coming filmmakers get into the horror game. Not only because they're into horror movies, but you want to make a name for yourself. In terms of vis-a-vis the studios,
right?
Like, you make a movie for $10 million, and yeah, most of them don't work. Many of them are on Netflix, many of them are on Amazon or DVD or whatever. Occasionally, you get one released like this, and it's like, holy shit, this movie just made 300% of its budget in, you know, 3 days.
Right. And plus, I know that typically, unlike other genres that are suffer from sequelitis. I mean, we've been running through the gamut of them all summer long. That horror is, you know what, if you want to make three more of these, not necessarily that it's going to be a good movie, it just will make its money back.
Yeah.
And then some.
Three fucking Jeepers Creepers movies. You know?
Fucking like five Paranormal Activities.
Uh-huh, yeah. And what else? Like
Saw?
Final Destination and Saw. They just keep making them. Yeah. It's also a genre that is season-proof. You know what I mean? Like, you can release it any month of the year. You can release it at absolutely any time. It doesn't have to be on Halloween, you know? It can be any time of the year. You can make money on a horror movie.
Yeah. And
they obviously did.
And I think I read something where this movie and The Secret Life of Pets were the only two movies that were number one during the summer that did not result from a direct franchise or a sequel of a franchise.
Yeah, well, Suicide Squad, technically. I mean, I guess it's sort of a spin-off.
It's spin-off.
Yeah. It's also a piece of shit. I don't know if we've mentioned that or not. It's not a piece of shit. But it's like, when a movie like this is number one for 3 weeks in a row and makes a gajillion dollars, I'm like, what are you doing, America? We're going to get more of these now.
What did I hear? Oh, God. It was John Oliver from Last Week Tonight. He was talking about just running a whole bunch of, very quick snide remarks. Suicide Squad was. And Insane Clown Posse takes over Gotham City.
Exactly.
So, but did you see Don't Breathe?
No, I didn't see Don't Breathe. My brother saw it. Did you see it?
I saw it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's fun? It looks fun.
It's,
I suffer from having a wife that will not go to see these movies with me.
Well,
and I have no problem going to see movies by myself, but horror movies, like comedies, are more fun. It's not that you can't enjoy them by yourself. Horror movies and comedies are way more fun to see with at least one other person and a big crowd.
Right. Well, originally, we were not going to see Don't Breathe. We were going to see Tarzan.
Right.
And the reason why we were going to see Tarzan was because of this very funny review that had been posted, and it went around all over the internet, and I'll give you an example. It was what it was this woman wrote the review to the new Tarzan movie with Alexander Skarsgård.
Sure.
And she just goes on and on about how beautiful and perfect and awesome Alexander Skarsgård is, to the point where she's had a couple of bottles of wine, or it seems like she had
bottles. Holy
shit. She says that she had a lot of wine. Yeah. A lot of wines. Yeah. I'll give you an excerpt. This is why I can't tell you what the movie is about. Samuel L. Jackson at one point is talking about something really important, and it's just white noise, because Alexander Skarsgård has the best body that has ever existed. I am basically exhausted from being in a constant state of arousal for the rest of the two-thirds of the movie. When he swings on stuff, it's slow-mo, and there's all these long shorts of his muscles, and he's so wet. Like, he's at one point so wet, and I'm telling my friend, oh my God, and we were both like, he is so wet. So we were about to watch that, but since we had to go eat, and we had dinner, and we were close to the movie theater anyway, we saw Don't Breathe, and I thought it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not a horror movie.
No?
It's a thriller.
Yeah.
And it's, if you haven't seen the trailers or anything, it's these three young kids break into this house to try to steal some money from this guy, who turns out to be a veteran, who turns out to be a blind veteran, and something catastrophic happens to one of them, and they're left to figure out how to escape, get the money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All this is in the trailer, by the way.
Yes, of course. And I'm not spoiling anything. Suffice it to what I will say is a couple things. Avatar, the movie Avatar. Remember the colonel that was just a real piece of shit in that movie?
Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang is in this movie. I didn't realize that until I actually ran into watching Avatar on basic cable over the weekend.
Well, you know who else he is, though, right?
Nuh-uh.
Never seen this guy before?
Is it Me to You? Is it Me to You? Is it the guy from Hardaway?
The Party Crasher. Stephen Lang is the Party Crasher.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew he was the fucking Party Crasher. Yes. I couldn't like
Me to You.
Me
no,
to
Me
you.
To You.
Me to You.
That's a promise from me to you. Hell
that,
yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
Hardaway. Oh, he's also in another sort of famous movie between you and I and a lot of people. He's in Tombstone.
Oh my God, that's him.
Ike Clanton. Yeah.
Holy
law
shit.
Law don't go around here, law dog. Savvy?
No. Put your hand. Put your guns down. He played.
That's Ike Clanton. Stephen Lang, one of the most versatile villains out there.
Let me tell you something. Now that I know that, right. I kind of like this movie even more now.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Lang's an interesting character actor that's played four, like, huge villains now.
Huh. Holy shit. Okay, so now my mind's blown on The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com. I will say this about Don't Breathe, is that if you want a good thriller, you should go see it. It's only an hour and a half, which is good for me because I've got shit to do, as you know, most people do. Yep. But there's not a lot of drawn out, formulation of plot. Like, you get what you see.
Right.
Let's just get to the scary parts, the thrilling parts. There's actually a couple spots in there where I was kind of surprised, like, what the hell's going on? And it kind of throws you for a loop. So there's a couple twists in there as well. And there's one spot in particular towards the end. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything, and I'm not going to give spoilers, but I had given my quick capsule review in our Facebook group, Detroit Shock City, because it's based in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
That's all I will give. I will not give any more. You need to watch it. Mm-hmm. Especially if you were talking about how it was either online, or we were talking amongst our group of friends when we were playing poker the other night or something, that, you know, there's no thrillers anymore.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you don't have the constant reboots and the sequels and everything else. Like, they had the trailer for that African-American thriller, When the Bow Breaks,
mm-hmm.
about the surrogate parent and the woman, like, falls in love with it. And that's the type of movie that you were talking about,
right.
was always being released during the 90s.
Yeah, Hand That Rocks the Cradle and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, Sliver, or, yeah, you know, yeah, some yeah. bullshit.
Sure.
But it was pretty good. I mean, you know, $20, you got, you know, your cheap scares and thrills, and, you know, obviously there's jump scares and everything, but for the most part, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm into it. I gotta go see it.
Yeah, so...
I love that kind of shit.
But meanwhile... I do know that as far as other news that's been coming around, and obviously we're going to talk about something that's that just happened today, which kind of changed the trajectory of where I wanted the show to go, but Blade Runner 2, a 28-year-old Hungarian construction worker was killed on set for the untitled Blade Runner sequel after the set he was taking apart collapsed.
God, why couldn't it have been Jared Leto?
According to a Hungarian news site, the movie had already wrapped up shooting in Budapest and moved on to the next site in Itik, but it is obviously halted production for the time being because they are still investigating the cause of the accident. And so,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but it's still slated to come out on October 5th, 2017.
That's bizarre when someone dies on the set of a movie. Kind of infamous, you know, whether it's The Crow or Twilight Zone or something like that, you know. It's crazy.
Well, yeah.
This poor guy is just going to work.
Is it worse to have it done on set or like the Poltergeist shit where everyone starts dying mysteriously after the fact and there's like bad juju?
Well, I'm not going to say that like it's worse than the way that somebody like Dominic Dunn died. Like that's, or Dominique Dunn, like that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. The Poltergeist thing is weird too. Like everybody in that movie gets like cursed and shit.
Yeah, like that little girl.
Little girl died like complications from pneumonia or something like that.
Yeah.
Dominique Dunn gets like choked out in her driveway.
Yeah, by some like crazed fan and everything, right?
Ex-boyfriend, I think. Like boyfriend of like just a couple weeks prior. The old man from the second one. Creepy old man with the teeth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was like dying of cancer as he was shooting the movie. Like
it looked.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. God was in his holy temple.
Jesus Christ.
Mm. I think the Indian too. Excuse me. Native American.
Native American, of course. We are very respectful of every culture and whatever PC and all that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of being offended, Chris, the Chinese are offended. Chinese are offended because of Jason Bourne. Did you read about this?
I did read about this.
Jason Bourne, Matt Damon's latest outing as the Bond-esque action hero, is reportedly shown in China, almost exclusively in 3D, and is reportedly making cinema goers feel nauseous.
I so infrequently go to see movies in 3D that I didn't even realize that this was showing in 3D. And many other movies, like, they're playing in 3D, and, like, accidentally bought the ticket before and, like, gone to the counter and be like, hell no, I don't want this. I don't want to see this movie in 3D.
Apparently, though, unlike in the United Kingdom, at least from the article writer's country of origin, where films are shown in 2D throughout the country, over 80% of the cinema screens in China, which are roughly 37,000 to 39,000, why being that specific, who knows, are equipped with 3D technology.
Yeah.
The majority were only built in the last decade. A quote from one viewer, I felt really sick during the fight scenes when I watched it in 3D. It was like a low-budget movie.
Well, I remember people saying that about the second movie when it came out, because the style of the second movie is very different from the first one. So Paul Greengrass's sort of handheld up close during the fight stuff kind of can make you a little nauseous. I can imagine it being in 3D. I can imagine it making you even more sick.
I watched that movie in the second row from the front, because we just ran out of room, and so there wasn't any spot for us to sit together, because I was taking my date at the time. And yeah, the car crash at the end in Russia, the car chase in Russia.
Oh, hell no.
And then the fight in the...
Can you imagine place? 3D?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, that would be terrible. And so, so just to add insult to injury, apparently Jason Bourne is not faring well with Chinese...
Sorry, Chinese people.
Chinese people, yeah, we're really sorry about that.
Not even the worst thing about the movie.
It's really not, because I saw it in 2D, and I want my money back, too.
I was rearranging my DVDs the other day, because my kids love to fuck up the alphabetical order. And so I was fixing that.
Right.
I fix many things around the house that they have fucked up.
Yeah.
Because I love them. And I was looking at the Bourne trilogy, the Blu-ray Bourne trilogy I have, and I remember looking at it, like, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, and going, oh, man, I'm going to have to buy a new one of those. And then I was looking at it the other day. I was like, eh, I guess this one's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I need that. I don't think I need the one that includes the four. It's the same feeling I had with Indiana Jones. You know, I got the nice collection that looks like it's leather bound or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the fourth movie. I'm like, meh, I'll keep what I got. I don't need to buy a new one.
How many Blu-rays would you say that you own right now?
Blu-rays or Blu-rays and DVDs?
Well, let's start with Blu-rays and then add DVDs to that.
Well, the DVD collection started first, and then I would buy anything new that came out that I wanted on Blu-ray, I would buy on Blu-ray instead. And then I also started sort of converting things to Blu-ray.
Okay.
And
so you have a Blu-ray burner then?
No, converting as in buying the Blu-ray and getting rid of the old DVD.
Oh, you know, okay. I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Either by taking it to, you know, a record store or somewhere and selling it, which we don't have those anymore, so then I would just sell them at garage sale or something like that.
Okay.
At all times, I have a stack of stuff that I'll just sell at a future garage sale.
Right.
I think I have, like, I don't know, 350, something like that.
Blu-rays?
Blu-rays and DVDs. Blu-rays, okay. I probably have about 100. Probably about 100. And to me, and I was thinking about it as I was looking at them and rearranging them, and I'm sort of moving them to a different spot in the house, going to build a new shelf for them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, it's just like, who buys these things anymore? And, like, I don't even think Walmart sells them anymore. Best Buy definitely doesn't sell them anymore, I don't think.
Well, DVDs?
Yeah, like, DVDs and Blu-rays. Like, you oftentimes cannot find, like, hard copies. Like, stores that used to have shelves and shelves and shelves, aisles of Blu-rays and DVDs don't even sell them anymore. Or they have this little tiny truncated row of just new releases. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you can go... I can't go to Best Buy right now and buy a copy of Forrest Gump. You know, it's one of the most famous movies of all time.
Right.
You just can't do that anymore because they just don't sell like that. But to me, they're still important. And I still like having that collection. And also, not only that, I think they look and sound better than watching something on A, Netflix, or B, on demand, or downloaded, or something like that. I like having that... collection.
Okay.
And I like looking at it and touching it and coveting it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, without getting too creepy.
Yeah.
Would you say, well, and you have Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
The Blu-ray extended.
Well, I let my fucking brother borrow the big extended version. Well, no, first off, let me say, I don't like the extended versions of the movies. I don't like those.
Okay.
They're too fucking long. These movies are 3.5 hours long. I don't need an extended version. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I'm good. And when you watch those, when you do watch the extended versions, you're like, what the hell? Like, this is taking a really long time. I've been watching this for 2.5 hours. They haven't even left the goddamn Shire yet. I had, like, a big, nice, big Blu-ray set, and my brother borrowed it, and I never saw it again. So I went and got on Amazon and bought, like, the $14.99, like, single clamshell with all three movies in it. It's perfectly fine.
Holy shit, look at you.
Yeah, it's perfectly
fine. Getting a deal. Well, yeah. Guess what? Guess what, chicken butt? Warner Brothers is releasing an $800 box set collection of the combined Lord of the Rings and Hobbits trilogies in their extended Blu-ray cuts.
Fuck
spanning over the course of 30 separate discs.
How do you take... I understand how you take the Lord of the Rings trilogy and turn it into three-hour movies. I get that. Yeah. That makes sense. Nobody was like, oh, these movies are too long. It doesn't make sense. Like, the story can't support it. No, there's extended versions, and there's even stuff that was cut out of the extended versions because there's so much in those books.
Yeah.
The Hobbit is a single, slender, essentially child's book.
Here we go.
This book was written for children, you know, and it is very, very small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It cannot be supported by three-hour movies.
And, oh, well, not and, according to Warner Brothers, it can't.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. Fucking J.R. Tolkien. We always put an extra R in there now. Thanks, George Martin. Can't even say J.R. Tolkien without putting another R in there. J.R.R. Tolkien.
Well, he's not talking about wieners, so that's good.
No, that's true. This book cannot be supported by three-hour movies. I'm not interested. I saw the first one, sucked ass. The second one, marginally better. Why? Had a fucking dragon in it. Like, dragon elevates your movie 25 points. I don't give a shit. What movie it is.
No, it's fair. It's like
Sex in the City 3. You put a dragon in it, and I'm on board.
It's like a marginal, like a mediocre pop song, but if you put horns in it, I'm sold.
I'm there.
Yeah, I'm totally there.
All right. This guy plays a mad trombone.
That's okay. Right.
That's what... A dragon is essentially the trombone of movies.
Okay. Additional 18... Okay, look. You've got the actual films, which are two Blu-ray discs each for a total of 12. And the additional 18 discs worth of bonus material, director commentary, making of docs. I know that you've said in times past that, listen, I don't give a fuck about the extended versions of the movies, but but director's commentary, on the other hand.
Director's commentary I do like. Bonus features and making of and stuff like that, very, very rarely. It's got to be a movie that I'm really into, like, you know, and it's very rare. And with these movies, I am really into them, but not so much, like... If I watch Aliens, which is, I don't know, 2 hours long, maybe not even that, afterwards I might want to watch some bonus shit. You know, I might want to watch the making of and how they made the Big Queen and took 8 guys to run it or whatever.
Yeah.
The Return of the King's, like, almost 4 hours long. By the time that thing's over, you're ready to go to bed or you're ready to make a sandwich. You're not like, let's watch a making of. Let's see how they made Elijah Wood like he was 3 feet tall. I don't care. No, I don't care at all. In most cases, I don't care. Blooper reels. Honestly, commentary and blooper reel. Like, my taste in special features goes from the highfalutin...
Have to admit it.
To the, like sub-toddler level. Like, you know?
Well, listen, I also know... Listen, I love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I saw half of The Hobbit, the first movie. I fell asleep.
Half of The Hobbit.
I saw
they're already short enough. There's no reason to make short jokes.
So I saw The Hob, and I fell asleep in the movie theater when they were careening around the mineshaft or whatever. So I didn't bother with the other two because, quite frankly, I didn't give a shit. Like, I have LOTR, it's fine. But
I never saw the third one. Don't care to.
But I also was reminded of, and I hate to go back and refer back to Clerks 2, but I know that the part where Randall's talking to the guy that's ordering the movie burger, and he's talking about, well...
There's an onion ring in there.
Yeah, one ring to rule them all. And he's like, this is the story. He just walks. And then here's the second story. And here's the third story. Boop. I guess we'll go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very simplistic, but the...
That is an oversimplification.
But the
From
ending...
From a Star Wars nerd, by the way, the crux of that scene is that they're making the argument that the Star Wars trilogy is better.
Yeah, there's only one trilogy and blah, blah, blah. By the way,
I disagree. But Lord of the Rings, greater than Star Wars trilogy.
Really?
I only say that because, first of all, Jedi's not very good. It's just not.
Okay.
We all tolerate it because it's got Ewoks in it. It's got Darth Vader. It's got all the elements there. But it's really like, it's certainly the trajectory of the series. It's like, first one, awesome. Second one, incredible. Yeah. Third one, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Good wrap up?
Yeah. Whatever. Sure.
What
okay.
What if you tack on 35 more minutes of ending to Return of the Jedi?
God. Whereas with Lord of the Rings, they're all awesome. They're all equally awesome. They all have amazing scenes. Like, they're really fantastic.
Yeah. Come on now. Helm's Deep? Come on.
Helm's Deep. That's
Helm's
Deep is a totally different movie. Helm's Deep.
Starring Ariana Michael.
That was the inspiration for Boogie Nights.
Yes, that's very true.
We retreat to Helm's Deep.
How about another trilogy? Would you like another trilogy?
Wait a minute, an existing trilogy, or is this a part two-part movie that's going to get a part three?
A two-part movie that's going to get a possible third movie. It's been discussed.
Fuck. I'm like bracing myself like someone's about to set off a firecracker here. What is it?
All right, hold on, because I was reading about this as well, and I was kind of thinking to myself, this might work. It might work. I don't know. Now it seems, based on 23 years later, that Mike Myers and Dana Carvey are thinking about bringing back the iconic characters of Wayne Campbell and Garth back to the silver screen for entertaining the idea of a Wayne's World 3.
Did we learn nothing from Anchorman 2? Did we learn nothing from Zoolander 2? Hey, you know what? Did we learn nothing from Wayne's World 2? Oh. And I know that I'm speaking a little bit of blasphemy here for some people. I think Dane would probably shit his pants if he heard me say this.
Right.
Wayne's World 2, not that funny.
Never.
Certainly not as funny as Wayne's World.
Never seen it. Oof. Never seen it. Well, I never got around to it.
It's not good. You don't need to see it. It's just surprising to me because in our generation, when Wayne's World 2 came out, it was one of the first movies I remember like going to the movie theater like super excited to see like as a sequel, like something that I had been into a couple years ago, and now you know.
Yeah.
When it came out like 93 or something like that.
94, 95. Yeah, because 92 was when Wayne's World came out. I remember that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it must have been 94.
Yeah.
Not that good. Not that memorable.
Quote, it would be an interesting examination of Wayne at 50. That's not a good sentence, right? As Myers told the Canadian Press, quote, I don't know what it would look like, but the idea of it makes me laugh, and Dana Carvey and I had a blast at the 40th anniversary of the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special, and so I don't know.
I will say that Mike Myers is very, very funny to me. Like, he's made Wayne's World, he made So I Married an Axe Murderer, and he made the Austin Powers movies, which I find all three of them to be really funny, personally.
Like, really?
Yeah, I think they hold up.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do.
Wait, all three of them?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I would say the second and third one hold up way better than the first one.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
This is a very interesting conversation.
I think they're really funny. You know what it stems back to?
Is it Dr. Evil or actual, like, Austin Powers?
The whole thing, but yes, Dr. Evil is... If I got to choose one character out of the two main characters, I got to choose Dr. Evil. Yes, okay. It cracks me up.
Okay.
But I think it stems back to Blockbuster. It was one of those movies, like, we've talked about the trailer tape before.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could sort of, like, when you knew the manager wasn't coming in, like, at night shift, like, you could sort of get away with watching just a regular movie.
Right.
You couldn't put Showgirls on, you know?
No, you couldn't
put RoboCop on.
Right.
But you could sort of get away with watching some stuff. And Austin Powers was something that you could get away with watching.
Okay.
There's no nudity. There's no real cussing. Or anything like there's some dick and fart and shit jokes, but it's not like it's like they're saying dick, fart, and shit, you know, like they're making these jokes like, hey, this coffee's nutty, you know, and things like that. Also,
it is shit, Austin.
Yeah, I have a 13-year-old boy's sense of humor, I really do,
as it's been established with the dick jokes that your wife does not appreciate.
Yeah, she's not into it.
1992
Wayne's World came out, and Wayne's World 2
95. I want to say 95.
Drum roll, please. 93. Came out the next year.
Holy shit, really?
Yep.
That's, you know what? That's how it needs to be.
That is how it needs to be.
That's how it needs to be, all
right. Right, so why are you going to make the next one 20, you know, well, why 24 years later?
Why the fuck not? Everyone else is remaking every single thing.
Because they're not good. The remakes and the sequels aren't good, especially when they come after 23. I know it doesn't matter in terms of money. It will make money.
Right.
And, you know... this is the kind of thing where it's like, if it gets good reviews, I'll go see it. If it doesn't get good reviews, I won't.
Yeah.
Daniel Ballard is pulling his fucking scalp off his head as he hears me say that right now.
Right.
But, like, that is how I look at it. Like, there's certain movies that I'm like, I'm seeing it no matter what, don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
There's certain movies that I'm like, I have no interest in seeing that. It's very unlikely that I will see it.
Right.
And then many, many, many movies, probably most movies,
yeah,
I'm sort of indifferent about. The reviews come out, they're really good, or the buzz on it is really good, I'll go see it. The buzz is really bad, not interested.
Okay, two things in regards to that. Number one, Daniel Beller, this is definitely for you because you made a comment about this today, and so...
Yeah, that's what inspired me.
Chris, do you get paid?
Well, I get paid at my job.
No, do you get paid for this?
For this right here?
Yes.
I get paid in your friendship.
You already had that.
Oh.
But what I'm saying is that
you're not getting paid.
You're not getting compensated.
No.
I'm not getting compensated.
No.
So it's an appreciation of, you know, like we're just two guys talking shit about movies, and, you know, we'll watch the movie before we make a comment on it.
No doubt, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're not getting any sort of gratification aside from, obviously, your adoring fans and all the followers on, all 10 of you, all 20 of you on Facebook and Twitter that follow us, and so we appreciate your patronage. But at the same time, I will say this, is that, you know, when it comes to the fanboyism that you're not willing to listen to the other side and you're not willing to take into consideration, there's a whole lot of gray, it's not black and white, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll be the first one to say it. Like, if Pete's Dragon, perfect example.
Yeah.
Had no interest in seeing it, probably wouldn't have taken my kids to it, you
right.
know. But reviews came out, things got like a 90% rating on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever. I'm like, all right, well, shit, take the kids. Let's see. It must be pretty good.
Would you say that you've seen more movies this summer as opposed to other previous summers because of the show?
Possibly. I would say, well, not, previous summers is a very broad statement.
How about, how about last summer?
Certainly more than last summer.
Okay. Because I know for a fact that I was never going to watch Ghostbusters, and I was never going to watch...
Yeah.
I was never going to watch Don't Breathe. But then it just happened to be, oh my gosh, it literally did not drop in viewership and grossing totals from Friday to Saturday.
Right.
In fact, it didn't even drop from Saturday to Sunday. Like, it's just been making money. It'll probably make about 7 to 10 times what it was originally made for.
We picked the worst summer to see the most amount of movies.
I know, right? Like, God damn it. Like, I wish it were 1993 and I would have been like, I saw Last Action Hero, Jurassic Park, and like, oh,
shit.
Shit.
You didn't see that much
it? I saw Jurassic Park 9 times, dude.
Yeah, I know. I did too. I did not see Last Action Hero until like 1999 or something like that.
I've never seen Last Action Hero. Conversely, I've never seen Goldmember. I saw The Spy Who Shagged Me.
I think at this point, like, I'm arguing that it holds up.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that you can go out and see it today.
I don't I don't think I do.
No,
I mean, it's
no,
got Beyonce in it, and it's got Goldmember.
She's really hot. Yeah,
she is really hot. I'll tell you who's hotter is Heather Graham, because she is fucking hot, and that's why I shagged me, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
she
is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the chick from the first one, whoever she is.
Elizabeth Hurley?
Yep, her.
Oh, my gosh.
She's the one.
That's the only reason I'll watch that movie, Bedazzled, with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
Besides the Colombian part, obviously.
Watch the Dudley Moore original. It's a good movie.
Dudley Moore. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we move on with the real thing on morelikeradio.com, how about this? How about let's try a different approach when it comes to remaking movies or creating a sequel to a movie that nobody asked for 20 some odd years later, excuse me. I'll get right into it. The Departed, the Oscar-winning 2006 Martin Scorsese movie, is getting a TV series reboot. In a competitive situation, the project has landed at Amazon for development. It's being produced by Amazon Studios, as well as Vertigo Entertainment and Plan B Entertainment, blah, 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 blah. In association with Warner Brothers TV, whose sibling feature studio is behind the film, starring Mark Wahlberg, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, and Jack Nicholson.
Interesting interview with him in GQ, Matt Damon. We'll get back to that movie in just a second, but he says that the number one headshot that he is asked to sign is of the
from Team America.
America.
Please.
He says that by far the most frequently requested headshot people ask him
That's
to sign.
Amazing. Oh my God.
Really good interview with him and an article with a lot of people talking about him. Departed itself is a remake, so
yes.
It's kind of hard. This is like Ocean's 11 or 12 or 13 or, you know.
The remake, the John Woo movie, Internal Affairs?
Infernal Affairs, excuse me.
But
yeah, and I don't think it's John Woo, but it is a Hong Kong movie or something like that, Korean movie, I don't know.
Yeah.
Asian, somewhere on that continent. It is a remake, so kind of hard to argue that, like, you know, can't fuck with the original because it's not the original.
Right.
And a lot of people who were fans of Infernal Affairs sort of kind of shat upon The Departed at the time, I remember. But whatever. You know, this falls into the category of, like, I can't wait to not watch this next year or whatever.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to sort of, like, read the article about how it just got canceled after one season.
Inspired by the films, the Departed TV series is set at present-day Chicago amidst the shifting tide of warring ethnic drug gangs. I love ethnic. In it, a young cop...
Thank you. I was picturing a bunch of guys that looked like Tom Petty.
Young. A young cop goes undercover to infiltrate a ruthless Latino gang. It's a Latino gang that's ruthless, Chris.
Oh, my God.
We're totally ruthless.
Change up.
Which simultaneously plants its own man in the police department.
Usually they're so tranquil and, you know, just... very generous and sweet natured. Yeah. The Latino gangs that I've come across, you know.
Well,
they're often knitting, you know.
Well,
see them knitting.
The important thing is that we're creating diversity for all colors and creeds and nationalities, as opposed to just white people and black people, because you guys have had it for too long. Black people are not drug dealers. White people and Latinos and Muslims and everything else can be drug dealers and...
I believe that diversity is a very, very old wooden ship. Ron, I'd be very surprised if the studio was concerned about the lack of a very old, old wooden ship.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. And speaking of diversity, and speaking of television...
Some warring gangs in that movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what The Departed's going to be like.
Oh, God.
Spanish news, bitches!
Manuel, you killed somebody with a trident. Whatever the Spanish word for trident is.
Brick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should probably get out of town, because you're likely wanted for murder.
Speaking of diversity in television, I know that you had mentioned that you are 4 episodes in out of a total of 8 for the HBO show The Night Of.
Yeah, straight up binge watched it last night. I was looking for something to watch. It's sort of been on my list. I've kind of been half watching like 8 different shows. Finally finished Veep and then decided, like, oh, I'll give it a try. Watched the first episode of The Night Of.
Okay.
And I thought the first episode of this show was one of the best hours of television I have literally ever seen.
It's pretty good.
The first episode of the show, and I will say that I have only watched 4. You have watched the entire series at this point as we have this conversation.
Yeah, I just finished up right before you got here, actually.
First episode is up there with... I would put it up there with... Because a lot of shows, it's not like the greatest episode of The Sopranos ever was episode number 1.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or Breaking Bad. Or basically any show. I can't think of any show where the... Maybe Arrested Development?
Lost?
Lost? Even Lost, I don't think so. I don't think they quite hit their stride. It's a good... All those shows we just mentioned, first episode is good.
Yeah.
This one, of the 4 episodes I've seen, like, it's in another dimension.
Yeah,
show sort of settles into a different sort of thing, kind of a procedural sort of thing.
Okay.
First episode is so masterfully done.
Yeah.
And it's Steve Zaillian, the writer-director who made the first episode. And it was behind, you know, was the force behind the show. So masterful. Like, I've never seen...
What has he done before?
Steve Zaillian, I think he was the writer of, like, Schindler's List. He made that movie Civil Action with John Travolta, which is actually really good.
That is really good. I remember that from 1998.
Yeah. He's made a couple other, like, sort of high-profile things that are escaping me right now. But the first episode...
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
He's the right one. Well, Stig Larsson with the book, so it's kind of fucking, you know, like...
He wrote Moneyball.
Hey, there you go. Did he really?
And American Gangster.
Again, both from books. But, like, again, the guy makes good projects, yes. He's
right,
a good writer. He's a good adapter of material. I'm sure Civil Action and Schindler's List, for that matter, were also... you know, books before they were movies. The guy makes good movies, and he made a good show here. Like, I mean, it's, like, unbelievable how good that first episode is. You've seen the entire series. What are your thoughts on the series?
It's very well made.
Yeah.
They put a lot of... It seems like it's meticulously shot. It's very... Okay. It's only 8 episodes. That both helps it and it hurts it.
Hmm.
Because of the fact that not only are you not going... You're not going to get a continuation of this story. This is kind of like one of those one-off miniseries.
American Horror Story.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Fargo. Or...
Yeah, so they're...
They've announced that? They've said that's true?
Well,
you just know it to be true.
I know it to be true because I read about this. Because I'm going by, you know, all the reviews. It was talking about this and Stranger Things.
Mm.
Stranger Things, you know, obviously being the 80s movie, 70s movie, you know, homage to, you know, sci-fi and horror and thriller movies,
right,
and all that
E.T.,
sort of thing.
The Goonies, The Thing.
Yeah, yeah. So The Night Of was talking about, and I know that you don't like the show, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I'll take one of those. We're drinking beers live on the real thing on morelikeradio.com. Thank you so much. But when I was reading about it, it was talking about how it's it's a crime procedural.
You drink that whole Guinness already?
Of course I did.
My God.
Yeah, I've got a drinking problem.
Wow.
Or solution.
Yeah, but that's like a loaf of pumpernickel bread that you just drank.
Sourdough, motherfucker. I'm making that cheddar. God. So when I was reading about it, it was making comparisons to The Wire, and it was, had all different kinds of people, including John Turturro, and a couple of people that were actually involved in The Wire. The guy that played Bodie and Michael K. Williams, who's been in Boardwalk Empire and The Wire as Omar and everything else. And I'm watching the first episode. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is incredible. Looks really, really good. Now, again, I go back to you are confined by your playground area. So it's also going to help you, but it's going to hurt you in the sense that you built
your own prison.
You have to accelerate, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I don't know where did your last episode leave you?
He went to Freddy.
Okay.
And asked him for help.
Okay.
Because homeboy had just burned him with the oil in the arm or whatever. Like, so that's the end of episode 4.
Yeah, hot water and baby oil. You just like splash it on his arm after talking about certain things. Anyway.
Glenn Headley, another good character actor who we don't see enough of,
detective?
No, she's the lawyer that took his case on, Glenn Headley, who was in Dick Tracy.
She was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels back in the day.
Yeah.
Cool to see her, and she actually did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the show. There's a lot of really good character actors who you've seen before.
Joe Don Baker,
the dude from Veep. What is his name? I forget. The guy that plays Ben on Veep, the chief of staff. He's in it for like a second, but it doesn't matter. It's cool to see him.
Yeah. Stoner guy from Road Trip's also in it.
Stoner guy from Road Trip. Michael K. Williams, as you mentioned before, who's fantastic. Riz Ahmed, the main character of the show, also we've seen him in many things recently, whether it was Jason Bourne or Nightcrawler.
Yeah, and he's going to be in Rogue One, too.
He's going to be in Rogue One. Really good actor. And it's also got a bunch of actors who you've never heard of before who are incredible.
Yeah.
And you've never seen them in anything. You've never heard of them. The woman who plays the prosecutor, who's got kind of like the askew mouth, like the older lady.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic. Just one of these, you can tell she's been an actor, actress for, 40 years probably. And it's just like so good on the show.
Yeah.
So good. But that's where it left me. Glenn Headley had just sort of said, you know what? I quit.
Okay.
Homegirl here is going to take over, and we're no longer doing it, gratis. And then the homeboy got burned with the oil.
Okay. So what I will say is this, is that the only issue that I have in regards to the show is in regards to Nas, the main character, Riz Ahmed. His time in prison kind of feels a little like Deus Ex Machina, where like I get it, but I don't, because you only have eight episodes to work with.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, the ending, and I work in court, by the way, so I kind of can see how this was able to happen, and the way that it ends, technically, I've never seen the show end the way that it did with other shows, because usually it's a certain way, like good or bad. This way, I was just kind of like, can they do that? Yeah, I guess they can. It's kind of along those lines. It's really, really weird.
Without getting into spoilers, because I don't want to see it.
Right.
Or I don't want to see it. I do want to see it.
You do want to see it.
Immediately when I leave here, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Without getting into spoilers, I read several articles today and sort of stopped reading if it got even remotely spoilers or if they gave a spoiler warning. A lot of people sort of mentioned unsatisfying as a word for the finale.
No, there's resolution. It may not be the resolution. Okay, guys, look.
It's not what you're looking for, but...
Well, no. I mean, it's not what I'm looking for. Because I was actually kind of surprised by the legality of how they have to work within the rules. Right. That's all there is to it. I mean, everyone's got due process and constitutionality, again, because I unfortunately have to work in court. But what I will say is that, again, I go back to our friend Daniel Ballard, who was talking about how critics are assholes who get paid. critics who do this for fun and are just, you know, talking and bullshitting and everything else. But
sometimes assholes fuck pussy.
That's right.
Sometimes cocks fuck pussy.
Thank you, Team America. But he's right, and I think you and I have made the point of this before. Obviously not our adoring fans on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, but people in general are stupid. No. They're very, very dumb because they want the fairy tale ending, or they want things to come crashing down, and life doesn't work like that because life isn't black and white. It's all about a bunch of gray, and so that's kind of where I left off with it.
Well, anyone who... And you say you were not dissatisfied. You were not unsatisfied with the ending. It's just maybe not what you were looking for. But anyone who is not satisfied with the ending, or anyone who's looking for black and white or absolute resolution, wasn't paying attention to the show. Because the show does not have black and white or characters. Everyone is gray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone has good and evil in them. You see it just in the first four episodes that I have seen.
Yes.
And the show is, it's about that. That's not kind of number two what it's about. Number one that it's about is just a painstaking, meticulous procedural.
Yeah.
I mean, Law and Order is a procedural, I guess. Law and Order is a procedural the way that Tombstone is a Western. The way that Wild Wild West is a Western. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
This is a procedural. I mean, it's into the nitty-gritty details of every little element of how a crime from the moment it happens, actually from before it happens, all the way beyond, up until the absolute bitter end.
Yeah, it's very well made. And let me preface all of what I just said by saying that I liked it more. I was so high up on the show, and then I kind of had my opinion diminish of it because things were a little too convenient, but then I had to remind myself, you only got 8 episodes, so, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
But then at the end...
What the fuck do they do that for, then? Like, give it 10 episodes, and you know what I mean?
Sure, 10 or 12. Because usually, I'm telling you, I don't know why they only cut it to 8. I guess because they had to do it in time in order to make it fit with the end of Game of Thrones and the summer season. And
I would hope they did it because they had one story they wanted to tell, and they weren't trying to make it fit into a time period. I would hope they did it for that reason.
Right, well, I would think that if you're going to give anybody carte blanche as far as whatever you want to do with Steve Zaillian, who, you asked, he wrote Awakenings, Schindler's List,
damn,
Searching for Bobby Fischer, Clear and Present Danger,
holy shit,
Mission Impossible, Hannibal, Gangs of New York, and all the other ones that we just mentioned.
Mission Impossible, I thought that was David Koepp, but whatever, that's still a lot of really good movies.
Yeah, I guess he added to whatever
David Koepp. These movies always have like 3 or 4 writers on them,
So,
well, that's 2 really good writers to have on your movie, by the way. Maybe that's why it's the best Mission Impossible movie ever made.
Yeah, so,
Steve Zaillian, and Brian De Palma.
Yeah, but when I'm thinking of it and I'm looking at the show and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to, I don't want to read anything prior to making my own opinion of it first, and then I'll have, you know, my affirmation or that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The very last episode, the finale was, it was good. It was very, very good. Again, that ending is not what I expected, and I was like, okay, it's pretty good. It will not give you the fairy tale tragedy or happy feeling that you would normally find with, say, Law and Order, or CSI, or you know, these like generic shows.
Cuffs slapped on somebody.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
Like, not gonna work like that.
Because there's always work to be done, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
so,
of course. Well, you know, it goes back to like the conversation between Nicolas Cage and you know, the McKee character in Adaptation. Like the guy, he goes to the screenwriting class.
Yeah.
And the guy says, you know, you wow him in the end, and you got a hit. You know. And that's just a different, and Nicolas Cage, his character in the movie, like, it just doesn't necessarily feel that way. And that's the two sort of kinds of endings there are. You got Steven Spielberg, and then you got Stanley Kubrick, you know? Like, there's guys who sort of want to tie it up for you and tell a story, and it's finite, and that's it, and that's the whole story, and here's what happened, and the bad guys went to jail, and the good guys went and got some beers, and that's it, end of the movie. Then you got Stanley Kubrick, who wants to make movies and kind of wants to leave it open, let you think about it, let you sort of digest it and come to your own conclusion. It's not like one is good and one is bad,
but
if you're into, I'm 4 episodes into The Night Of, and I know it's not going to have, it's not going to give me everything I want.
Right.
It just isn't that kind of a show.
Well, right, but you're more savvy than the average television viewer, obviously, and so.
I guess so. Man, maybe that's why, I can't imagine, I wonder what kind of ratings this show has gotten. I wonder if people are really into it. There was a lot of articles about it online today, so I get the feeling that people were sort of watching it.
I would be extremely disappointed if they didn't bring him back in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
So because it does merit a second season,
It's not in the True Detective season 2 fashion.
No. Well, I mean, even they're trying to talk about, you know, bringing that back in so many forms with what's his name? I can't remember what the hell.
Nick Pizzolatto.
Pizzolatto. Yeah, because they were saying that that's the problem is that, for example, you've got a hit movie like The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
It's a hit movie. It's the number
one. It's a hit!
It's a hit! So you've got this movie that is obviously, you know, very financially lucrative towards you, but hey, guess what? 2 years? Sequel's coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shit! Well, how do you work under that pressure, especially if you're trying to be creative and trying to, you know, have something new to bring to the table?
Yep.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Marvel has suffered from this. For as much credit as Marvel gets, and they deserve it for putting out really good products, for the most part, their sequels have not been very good. Look at The Avengers. Look at Iron Man, Thor. You know, you go watch these sequels, and it's like it feels like it was rushed. It's like, why isn't this as good as the first one?
Right.
I think it's because they're rushed. I think it's because they got a timeline. They don't let the thing sort of develop organically.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's true. Captain America had a second and third one that people loved, but that's the exception. It's not the rule.
Right.
You can't rush things like this. True Detective, same thing. So they wanted to get that thing out next year, no matter what. And it was like rushed.
So do you think now that that's going to hinder what Star Wars is planning as far as all these?
It could. It very well could. I don't think. Well, one of the good things about the way Star Wars is doing it, though, is it's different writers, directors on all the projects.
Okay. Like,
everything's got a different thing. You know, J.J. Abrams is not even done making his movie, and what's his name, Brick Guy, is already making episode 8 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, is already making it.
Yeah. You know?
So that is in their favor. That'll keep them from having J.J. Abrams, under the gun, the way that Joss Whedon was for Avengers 2, for instance.
Right. Well, how about this? Chris, how old are you?
I am 36 years of age.
You are 36 years of age. What did you,
making dick and fart jokes.
Still making dick and fart jokes.
Still laughing at them.
So, I'm going to turn 37.
37?
I'm 37?
In a row?
Try not to suck any dick on the way to the parking lot. I am a firm believer that astrology is bullshit.
Yeah.
I will say that unequivocally. I don't give a fuck if you're a Virgo or a Scorpio or a Gemini or any of that sort of shit. However, I do believe in coincidence, and I do believe that I had hit a some sort of a interesting topic in regards to the movie or music or album or song, the day that you were born is very, very telling as far as a person's personality is concerned. Mm-hmm. At least to me anyway, or at least it is for the fodder of the topic that I'm bringing up tonight on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, and that is this, is that your birthday is July 3rd, 1980. Is that correct?
That's right. You want my social security number?
Not yet. I'm going to hack that later.
Okay.
Your number one movie that came out the day that you were born was Empire Strikes Back.
Hell yeah, it was.
It actually made... Do you want to know how much it made that weekend?
How much?
$6.1 million.
Holy crap.
Isn't that fucking insane?
Little known fact about me, I was actually born in the second row. The showing of that movie.
Conversely, I was born September 1st, 1979. My birthday movie that I had when it came out was Apocalypse Now.
Hell yeah.
Because when I was born, I liked to smell napalm in the morning, although I was born at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and so there you go. But...
Do you like Apocalypse Now?
I have never seen it.
What the fuck?
God damn it, what? What do you want from me?
I've got to see it.
I know.
This is a movie that you got to see the extended cut of, by the way.
Yeah?
The re-D.
Okay.
Apocalypse Now, re-D.
Red.
I like the Redux.
Redux.
Yeah, the Redux.
All right.
Yeah, I got it. You can borrow it.
Okay, so I'll borrow that from you.
I fucking love that movie.
But I also know that you know, in spite of our best intentions, that maybe life hasn't treated us as well as we would like for it. So, for example, the top grossing actors and actresses list came out over the past week. Jennifer Lawrence is 26 years old. She made $46 million last year.
Good God.
Her earnings, while decreasing 11.5%...
It's like mostly from the Hunger Games movie.
from 2015 were bumped up by a deal which took a cut of the $653.4 million box office that Mockingjay Part 2 came out. Lawrence, actress, was followed by Melissa McCarthy. She had, let's see, a 43.5 rise in her income, and then Scarlett Johansson, and then Jennifer Aniston, and then a Chinese actress, Fan Bingbing. That's your top five.
Yeah.
That's your top five actresses.
Fan Bingbing.
Who's your,
of course.
Of course.
Who's That's your, my ringtone.
Who's your who's your top paying actor? Who's your top grossing actor?
Top grossing actor from last year?
Yes.
Hang on, let me guess. Okay. I don't know, but I'm going to make an educated guess.
Okay.
So I'm an educated man. The Rock.
The Rock.
Is it The Rock?
$64.5 million.
I was going between The Rock and Kevin Hart, but I figured that Kevin Hart doesn't have the juice to make that money yet. Although his movies make money, I don't think he's got that kind of juice yet. How much did he make, The Rock?
$64.5
million. Good God.
Because he's got millions and millions of fans all across the world.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. Because of Fast and Furious. And then he's doing Fast 8 next year. And then Baywatch. And then he's doing the Jumanji reboot. Then he's also doing Doc Savage. And he's doing Shazam.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's got to come crashing down at some point. And it sounds like it's going to be somewhere between Baywatch and Shazam. That's a horrible list of movies you just announced that he's making.
Well, if it's going to come crashing down, $64 million is a really good way of consoling yourself. So.
He is also on, like, the number one show that I feel like I should be watching but never watch, which is Ballers on HBO. You know what I mean?
I've never seen that either.
Feels like it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
Commercials look funny.
Yeah.
It's HBO.
It's football.
It's football. Looks like Entourage. You know, it's essentially Entourage, but with football and The Rock and Rob Corddry.
Yeah.
And I never watch it.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I watched the first episode and I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But I just never stuck.
Well, now the second season's got Andy Garcia, so now it's got some gravitas and all that. So.
So did Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's true. God damn it, really?
Yeah. Not that convincing an argument. Best Andy Garcia movie, quickly.
I don't know if I can give an educated answer to that, because I don't think I've seen a lot of Andy Garcia. Hero.
Hey, fuck you.
I don't know, man.
Untouchables.
I've never seen it.
What the fuck?
Dude, I am dying here. Like, you gotta throw me a rope.
What the fuck is happening with you?
I don't know. I gotta watch Untouchables. I gotta watch it.
Fucking American.
Apocalypse Now. I am.
Holy shit, dude. You've never seen The Untouchables?
I am the Colin Kaepernick of
movie So you don't know what it means when I say enthusiasms.
No.
Enthusiasms.
No, I don't.
Fucking De Niro playing Al Capone.
Oh, I know.
Beating the fuck out of somebody with a baseball bat.
Shit.
You gotta see it, dude.
I know.
Oh, my God. It's also Brian De Palma.
I know it's Brian De Palma. I just...
Fuck me.
Well,
also written by David Mamet. You motherfucker.
I know. I gotta
watch. Kevin Costner, Andy Garcia.
Okay.
Sean Connery.
Fortunately.
De Niro.
I know. I'm getting chastised for this. I apologize,
dude.
Everyone. So
you actually need to see that before you see Apocalypse Now.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna watch that.
Man.
This is the part of the show. The
fuck is wrong with you?
There's plenty wrong with me. My vision's declining, and I'm about to turn 37 years old. I'm 37, Chris.
37?
In a row. But what I will say is that...
Is that including me?
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, The Real Thing, R-E-E-L-M-O-R, to continue with the show. Because I know we're about to get cut off for Hippo Juice. But seeing as how... We are not going to have a show next week because, number one, it's my birthday weekend. Number two, because it's Labor Day.
Hell yeah.
This will be our intro into our fall movie preview because...
You were born on Labor Day weekend?
I was born on Labor Day. I was actually born during Hurricane David in 1979 when it was coming through South Florida.
Man.
So I was almost called David.
Really?
Yeah. But unfortunately not. I was called something else that I had to legally change later when I was 13 years old.
Yeah. No loss.
No loss. It's fine. Everyone knows me as whatever. But...
Asshole.
So, if you would like to stick around for Hippo Juice, obviously we would encourage that. But
yeah.
Follow us on the iTunes podcast in order to hear what Chris and I are about to go through right now, which is our own personal copies of Entertainment Weekly's fall movie preview. Because we, well, actually, I spent $6. He got his for $12 a year.
Cause, I have a subscription.
Yeah, because he's smart, much, much smarter than I am. There's a lot of shit
coming. You gotta read something on the toilet.
Yeah, there is a lot. Well, I mean, yeah, I can't keep reading the same Rolling Stone issues about Obama and Radiohead day in and day out.
That is fucking Rolling Stone right there. Obama and Radiohead. They should call it that. I mean, the magazine should be called Obama Head.
Obama Head.
That's a totally different magazine.
There's a lot of shit coming out that I was kind of interested in getting your opinion on.
I was very surprised by some of the movies in this. I had no idea were coming out. Some of them I did know, but didn't know who was behind it, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Right. In fact, I know that, you know, obviously the cover is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them with Eddie Redmayne, a.k.a. Eddie Gucci Mane. But the movie that I was referring to when we were talking about Jason Bourne, The Light Between Oceans with Alicia Vikander and Michael Fassbender. They're banging in this movie.
Yeah, they are.
They're talking about how they're naked together and it's electric, and I'm sure it's electric because Michael Fassbender, he's got no shame, pun intended.
Looks like they just got done banging. What's that on his lip there? That's shaving cream.
Never mind. Shit, okay. But let's go through the months.
Through that.
Let's go through the months. First of all, I'm not excited about this movie. I just know it's gonna make a lot of money.
Which one?
Deepwater Horizon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's going to make a fuck ton of money. It's got Mark Wahlberg, Kurt Russell, Kate Hudson, directed by Peter Berg. If you lived under a hole during 2011, then obviously you didn't know about the BP oil disaster that happened off the coast of Louisiana and Alabama, where the fucking Deepwater Horizon exploded because people didn't do their job and they forgot to...
I don't know if it was like this in the rest of the country, and maybe it was, but here on the news, every day, it was like cut to a shot of the underwater pipe just like spewing oil. Ugh. Like, went for months just spewing oil.
Well, they had the live cam, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they would cut to that every day on the news, and it probably was on the national news. I can't really remember now, but God, just every single day, just like pumping oil, like gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons.
Yeah, so that's going to come out, and I know that people are going to go crazy because, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell too. I mean, Kurt Russell's now got kind of a renaissance going. Wouldn't you say? You know, between this and Hateful Eight, and he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, playing the father. You know,
correct.
You know who else is in Deepwater Horizon?
Who?
Malkovich.
Oh, Malkovich, Malkovich.
Malkovich, Malkovich.
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 Nice. All right.
Hey, Malkovich, think fast!
Improv scene, by the way, that they kept.
Is that right?
And that guy was an extra, and they ended up keeping his part in, and they gave him some more parts in being John Malkovich. It's like, you get the part. That was fantastic. Spike Jones is saying that you're fantastic.
Great fucking movie.
So, what about The Magnificent Seven? What do you think about that?
I'm pumped for The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Are you?
Antoine Fuqua?
First of all, Antoine Fuqua. Yeah.
And Denzel.
And Chris Pratt. And Peter Sarsgaard. Ooh. And a bunch of other really good actors.
Yeah.
I think Ethan Hawke is in this.
Yeah, he is in it. You're right.
Vincent D'Onofrio's in this as part of the gang. I'm in. I love this. Like, the interview with Pratt and Washington is actually really funny, too. Like, you get the sense that they had, like, real, you know, kind of funny relationship.
I went back and I watched the Equalizer.
Yeah.
And it's very, very slow.
I wasn't nuts about The Equalizer.
It's a little slower than I would like for it to, but when they get into the House of Pain, aka Home Depot or wherever the hell that he works at and stuff, he really like turns it up a notch. I hope that from what I was watching in the trailers in regards to this remake of the remake, understand that it's based on Seven Samurai, not your precious Magnificent Seven,
right,
Grandpa. That they're gonna turn it up a notch as far as the action is concerned, and it looks like it will. So
yeah, and that's fine as long as, but you get actors like this and your work is kind of done for you. Like, you can put action in it, but doesn't matter. Like, Washington, D'Onofrio, Hawk, those guys aren't going to make a movie just because it's an action movie. Chris Pratt might, but like, you know, this movie, I'm completely there. There opening weekend, I'm buying a ticket, I'm going to see it.
What about any movies that I missed in September that you think are worth our time?
I'm interested in Sully. I'll see that. You know how old Clint Eastwood is? He's still directing like a movie a year.
God, he's like 87 years old.
He's 86 effing years old.
And he'll kick your ass, too.
He'll still kick your ass and make a movie while he's doing it.
Okay, wait.
Action, let me kick this guy's ass.
Wait a minute.
He actually doesn't say action, you know that?
It doesn't? He doesn't?
He does not say action. He says, okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then when it's over, he doesn't say cut. He's like, all right, that'll do, or some shit like that.
Would you... Can you kick Clint Eastwood's ass? What do you think?
I would not even try. Absolutely not.
No?
No.
You think you'd lose?
First of all, wiry guys, like they say in Fight Club. Like, you know, I mean...
Skinny guys long reach?
Yeah.
Skinny guys fight until they're burger.
Yeah, that's like... he's always been wiry.
Yeah.
But also, you know, sort of muscular. And he's still like that. And no.
You just fucking just 155 pounds of crazy.
Wouldn't even try it.
Like no. not
he's
in.
He's tall as shit. I'll bet he's more than 155 pounds.
That's like, true.
Just
bone and sinew. Just
not even interested in trying.
Yeah.
No. See, I would let him kick my ass.
I don't think I could take him. Like honestly,
there's
no way.
No, seriously. He could probably kick the Rock's ass or something like
that. I don't know about it. Well, yeah, it's true. Well,
the Rock's too, like, smiley. Like, you know, Clint Eastwood smiles and you're like, get him to the hospital, he's having a stroke. No, but it's like, Sully Sullenberger, played by Tom Hanks, directed by Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
How can you possibly go wrong?
Haven't you seen this movie before, though? Wasn't it called Flight with...
No, but the difference between this and Flight is that this guy is like, you know... It does feel that way, because it's sort of about an investigation into a plane crash or whatever, but...
Yeah, and then the drinking's involved, and they put the drinking at the very forefront of the trailer and all that.
It's true there's some similarities, but I don't think those two guys, Hanks and Clint Eastwood, would have made it unless they had something else to say, you know?
That's true.
And I'll bet there is something else there. Okay. As much as I love Flight, like, and I don't even love the movie Flight as much as I just love Denzel Washington in that movie. Like, one of the best acting performances of the last 10 years.
I wasn't expecting a lot out of the movie. Honestly, until...
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
I had no expectations whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then Denzel Washington's performance in that movie is just, like, masterclass in acting. Like, that whole scene at the end with, like...
Oh, when he just...
I was drunk.
I gotta get my shit together just for this and this alone, and that's all there is to it. Give me the minibar. Let's go.
The entire last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, with like, John Goodman just kind of egging him on.
He's like, you know, like, we're going to do a toot or whatever. Like, and you know, Don Cheadle's standing there like...
Toot.
Yeah, like, he calls it something.
I know.
And then in the actual courtroom, and he's like, I was drunk. I was drunk that morning. I was drunk later that day. I'm drunk now.
Yeah.
You know, like, movie about alcoholism. Interesting.
Okay.
Also, Blair Witch. Blair Witch is interesting to me. Blair Witch falls into the category of something I was just talking about earlier, which is didn't give a fuck, not interested, don't care at all, don't want to see it. And then the reviews come out, and I'm like, wow, this movie's getting good reviews. Everybody's saying it's, first of all, it's directed by Adam Wingard, which I did not know, and the movie's getting really good reviews.
Okay, but... You also didn't like The Guest, which he directed.
No, I didn't. But I did like Your Next.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you did. Okay.
I thought The Guest was like kind of laugh out loud. Like what they were trying to do there, I literally was actually laughing.
Yeah. Well, come on. I mean, it was... I'm not saying... Okay, look. I liked The Guest. But then again, I was completely thrown off by how just over the top it was. Wasn't Morgan Freeman in that or something? Like one of the... shit, it wasn't him. It was... he's from The Wire, and he was in Lost. He was the knowledgeable black guy. You've seen him before. Like
knowledgeable
he's...
black guy.
Knowledgeable black guy. Like, you know knowledgeable black guy from... He was in John Wick. He was the concierge at the hotel where John Wick turns
I
in.
I did not like John Wick. I don't worship that movie like everyone else does. I can't remember it. I'm sorry.
Damn
I
it.
Would like to help you here, but I really don't know who you're talking
about. I am
about.
Looking it up right now. All I know is that it was just crazy and...
I thought it was, like, laugh out loud funny. And I know everyone that I know whose opinion I love thought the movie was super great.
Lance Reddick.
Who the fuck is Lance Reddick?
That's the black dude. Knowledgeable black guy.
Lance
Reddick.
Lance
Reddick.
Lance. I hear Lance, I immediately think of, like, a little black fucking medical book!
He's...
Yeah, well, trust me, I have one.
Well, you may have seen The Wire long enough in order to understand, well, this is bullshit! That quote, that's from him. So...
Nope.
Okay, so Blair Witch, I'll give it a go.
Oh, or, that guy.
That guy, Lance Reddick.
Yeah, I know him from Lost.
Okay.
I just looked him up.
Okay.
Yeah, creepy guy from Lost.
Okay, since we're on the subject of Blair Witch, how about... because I know it's coming out, and it'll come out in October, so let's just move in October.
True that.
And let's not get into the whole thing in regards to, because there's certain movies that everyone's going to go watch no matter what. Like, Birth of a Nation, everyone's going to go watch. I know that, you know, Nate Parker's dealing with the rape allegations and everything, and I want to stay a million miles away from that because whatever.
Is he really? I didn't know about that.
From, like, 1999, there was some sort of a rape allegation that got flushed under the table or something like that.
And
it's
they named the kid a nation?
But,
sorry.
Getting back to
my... Oh, it was the butt. Never
getting,
mind.
Getting back to my... Well, I mean, that's Catholic school. That's what Royce would tell you.
Standard procedure there.
What movie was coming out that month in October? Rings.
Yeah, Rings.
And you didn't see the trailer.
Didn't see the trailer, but I saw the first two The Ring movies. Now, this one does not have Naomi Watts, right?
No.
No Naomi Watts.
No.
What?
It's a...
Naomi Watts?
God damn it. God damn you. All I know is that it's... Not, it doesn't look like it's doing anything new. It's just a continuation. If you saw the trailer now in the movie theater, or if you go on YouTube and everything, it's basically the same thing.
Even the second Ring movie. Like, did we need another one?
No, we don't. And on top of that, here's the other thing. When you watch the trailer, there's a part in it where, you know, obviously if you watch the tape and then they get the phone call.
Still with the tape. Anybody have a VCR around?
VCRs are done. We established this on our show, The Real Thing, on morelikeradio.com.
That's what I'm saying. Where are they getting this tape from? Did they address this in the preview?
I don't know.
This tape. If you watch it, you'll die 7 days later. Everybody's like, okay, well, that's fine, because we can't watch it, because there's no fucking VCRs anywhere.
Yeah, but what it does, I saw World War Z the other day. It was on cable. I was like, fuck it, whatever, I'll just watch it.
It's been on a lot lately.
Yeah, and then there's the part in the movie World War Z, I'm not ruining spoilers, like, it's been 3 or 4 years, like, you can just watch the fucking movie, where in the cargo hold, one of the zombies gets in there, and all havoc starts breaking loose in First Class or wherever it is, opposite from Brad Pitt. And so
grenade and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so there's a part in World War Z where, you know, the zombies are attacking and they've got to, you know, blow the plane up and everything else. Same thing in the Rings trailer, the new one, where, oh, it's like JetBlue and they all have screens. Oh, but here comes Samara and she's crawling out of the... It's kind of hokey like that, so...
Yeah, I predict this will be a piece of shit and nobody will really watch it. And then, you know, it'll be one of those things that you forget was made, like Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows or something like that.
Yeah. But here's one that I would say is something that I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
A movie called Mascots.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by Christopher Guest, who's done Best in Show and a bunch of other movies that you've laughed at, but it's got the guy from Silicon Valley, Zach Woods.
Zach Woods. Always funny.
Yeah, and Sarah Baker from Louie. I don't remember the actress from Louie.
She was the sort of big girl that he went out on a date with.
That's right! Okay.
Yeah.
So
she's also in that movie with... Will Ferrell and Galifianakis, The Campaign.
Yeah.
She was like his wife in The Campaign, was very funny. Like, Will Ferrell has sex with her. Like, she's super funny.
Okay.
Yeah, really funny. In those two projects, she was really funny. And I'll bet she'd be really funny in this.
But apparently this movie is centered around a pair of baseball team mascots who also happen to be husband and wife.
Right.
I'm sold off of that, just that alone.
Absolutely, yeah. Chris Guest is one of those guys that he makes something and I'm there sight unseen. Especially if it's got the whole crew, which is Ed Begley Jr. and Parker Posey and all those guys, you know, which it does.
Yeah.
In addition to Zach Woods and the other girl. Jane Lynch is also in it.
Ah, it's great.
I'm in.
I'm totally in. What do you got?
Next movie that I am super interested in. Let's see here. Flipping through our... issue here.
No accountant?
Accountant is one of those movies that's like, I don't know, like, I feel like I've seen it before. It's like somebody mashed up Matchstick Men with A Beautiful Mind, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just sort of what it feels like.
Okay.
It sort of feels like half measures, like I've kind of seen this before,
yeah,
but better.
Did you
again, see... falls into the category that we talked about earlier, which is reviews come out and are really good, or the buzz is really good,
okay,
I'll go see it. If the buzz comes out and everybody's like, yeah, it's okay.
Did you see Warrior? This is Gavin O'Connor's first movie.
I did like Warrior. Okay. I liked it very much. Not necessarily because of the filmmaking of Gavin O'Connor.
Right.
Not that he did a bad job. He did a fine job.
Okay.
But I thought it was... You got Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy and Nick Nolte playing a father and his two sons. Like, your work's done for you.
Yeah,
like, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, Tom Hardy, one of the best actors of his generation. Joel Edgerton, also really good.
Yeah, solid actor. Yeah.
Haven't gotten enough from him to say that, but and then Nick Nolte, who's like a legend in my eyes.
Right. Well, it wasn't good enough for you that Joel Edgerton was an Egyptian in Gods of Egypt. It wasn't that was good for you.
Well, Joel Edgerton was in one of our favorite movies from this year, Midnight Special.
That's true. It's very, very true.
I'm interested in the Jack Reacher sequel. I will say that. Just because I love the first Jack Reacher.
God damn it. I haven't seen that one either. Motherfucker. Like,
what is wrong with
what you? What is wrong with me? Hold on. I'm going to start writing this shit down because, okay. Apocalypse My Now. God. Untouchables. Apocalypse Now.
You need
now.
To watch them in this order. I would say Untouchables, Apocalypse Now, Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher was just fun. You know, Jack Reacher was like, what was the Liam Neeson thing where he's like,
Taken?
I don't know who you are. Going to find you.
Yeah, that one. Terrible
the
father.
Worst Liam Neeson impression anyone has ever heard. In the universe.
I was gonna say, please repeat it. But now the moment's lost.
No, yeah, it's very much like that.
Okay.
Or Nonstop, which is the other Liam Neeson movie, which is actually a lot of fun. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like mindless action movie with a star who's like way smarter than the material. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or a main character who's way smarter than the material.
Right.
Smarter than everybody that he comes across. And he kicks everybody's ass. Let's see. Well, okay. So that's...
So Jack Reacher, you gotta look at.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
We're into November. We're into Doctor Strange, which I gotta say, it piques my interest.
Okay. That's a reach for you.
Yeah, I go for a reach around once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it because, you know, I like Brubblecut come on your patch or whatever his name is.
I love every single time we're just making up based off his name.
I like him.
Yeah.
All evidence to the contrary, but I do like him.
Okay.
And it is it's an original property. It's not a sequel. It's not a reboot. No, it's not original because it is Marvel. And so it's gonna
not
have,
yet.
It's gonna yeah, not yet. It's gonna have everybody else in it. You know, yeah. It's gonna have you know Iron Man's gonna swoop in at some point or whatever. I'm sure Thor probably shows up in this thing.
Right.
But it's got Tilda Swinton. It's got Mads Mikkelsen. It's got Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Hey, good job on the fucking nailing the Chiwetel Ejiofor. Nice.
It only took two Miller Lights.
Yeah.
If Guinness is pumpernickel, Miller Lite is Wonder Bread.
White wheat.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the preview looks okay. I it's kind of piqued my interest. Because it's not just going to be guys in tights, like, attacking each other, you
right.
know, in hand-to-hand combat. It looks
right.
like it's a little bit more to it than that.
But you're not concerned about what you were pointing out in one of our earlier shows, that they're really honing in on the Inception part of it.
I'm not concerned about it.
No.
I do say that, yes, like, you watch the preview, it's hard not to think about Inception.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a preview. It's one moment from a preview. I'm not going to think that the whole movie is going to be that.
No, of course, of course.
I'm interested.
Okay.
Trolls, I'll have to see with my kids. God damn it.
God damn it. You're going to see a lot of movies this year.
I see every fucking kids movie that comes out. I have to. Although, luckily, I didn't have to see Kubo and the Two Strings or whatever the fuck it's called because my mother-in-law took them to see that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Arrival. We sort of talked about this last week.
Yes.
But I'm into it. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve.
Telling you, man. That's that he's doing some work with Sicario and Enemy. Add Enemy, Mark. Because you're gonna have to watch that as well, right after Jack Reacher.
It's good. What else?
Go ahead, because I was about to say there's
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, there was gonna be two things on that side column right there.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Hacksaw Ridge, I'm really into because I like Mel Gibson. I like him as an actor. I like him as a director, and frankly, I think he gets sort of lumped into the category with Polanski and Woody Allen, and I don't think he deserves it. Like, I think he got drunk. Does he? I mean, he got drunk and talked shit to his wife.
Okay, listen, he'd actually...
He might have said something about Jews, but, like, he didn't fucking... He didn't fuck a 13-year-old in a hot tub.
That's true.
And he didn't fuck his own 13-year-old. In or outside of a hot tub.
That, or marry practically his granddaughter.
Yeah.
He
didn't do those things.
Terrible like, anti-Semite, but a hell of a director.
And by the way, what he said, I'm not sure, maybe it's anti-Semitic, but it's not like he was like, I fucking hate Jews, And, you know, like, they're the worst and all this kind of stuff. Like, he made some comments about the how they started a lot of wars, which is not a true statement.
Right.
So maybe it is an anti-Semitic statement, I guess. But I don't think that that quite puts him in the same category as Polanski. It's bad. I don't like it. No. I wish he hadn't said it. But it's not the same category as Polanski and Woody Allen.
Who's in the United States? Is it Mel Gibson or Polanski?
Woody Allen and Mel Gibson are both in the United States. Mel Gibson's not wanted for anything. Like,
right.
Polanski cannot come to the United States because
right.
he fucked a 13-year-old in a hot tub.
Right. Like, all I know is that, I don't know if Mel Gibson have children?
I believe he does.
Yeah, but his child has never written an op-ed for the New York Times talking about, hey, by the way, my father used to touch me and now I'm finally figuring out that he was, you know, somewhat grooming me to,
right.
you know, be his...
Hey, here's what yeah. you need to know. Mel Gibson was in a bunch of really good movies in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
He's made some really good movies, whether it was, you know, The Man Without a Face or Braveheart or Apocalypto.
Yeah.
The Beaver was Jodie Foster. But it's That's another true. Example of him being a good star.
Yeah.
Or even something like Get the Gringo, like other movies that he's made sort of since then. He's good. He's a good star.
Okay.
I don't think he's in this one. Is he in this one?
I don't believe he is. I think he's just directing.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? He wasn't in Apocalypto. In fact, nobody was in Apocalypto.
The
movie's amazing.
Yeah. What do I got? I've got Nocturnal Animals. I had no idea about this movie until I read it.
Tell me about this.
But it's got Amy Adams, Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Shannon.
Hell yeah.
And it is actually directed by Tom Ford. Yes, that Tom Ford. The Tom Ford that directed Wasn't a Single Man with Colin Firth?
Yep.
In regards to an apathetic married woman named Susan who receives a manuscript titled Nocturnal Animals in the mail from her ex-husband, and she begins to read the story of, et cetera, a family man terrorized by highway hoodlums, and she's questioning whether the manuscript is an act of forgiveness or revenge. It sounds like, you know, pretty standard thriller fair, but the fact that it's got all the actors that I'm mentioning beforehand, it kind of piqued my interest.
Yep, I'm in.
So, especially the Michael Shannon part.
Tom Ford made one movie. It got nominated for 10 Academy Awards. He got nominated. Yeah, Michael Shannon, that's enough for me. Allied, the Robert Zemeckis movie.
I'll watch that. I saw the trailer for that today. It looks pretty good.
Trailer looks good, and you had me at Robert Zemeckis. The aforementioned Flight. That's true. He did make a detour into making CGI movies for 10 years or so, whether it was Christmas Carol or
Beowulf,
or I made another one. I can't remember what it is, but because they all sucked.
Polar Express?
Polar Express, yes.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Polar Express, but I did see the other two, and they're not that good.
So yeah. Why,
there was no reason for any of them to be CGI. It didn't make any sense, you know?
Money.
But that actually costs a lot of money, and
right,
those movies didn't make money because, like, all those movies could have been live action. Like, there's Angelina Jolie. Like, you took the most fuckable woman on the planet, and you made her unfuckable. You know?
Well, I'll let you hit on what I know that you're going to hit on as far as a movie that we need to watch out for this coming fall, and it is from one of your favorite current directors right now.
Okay.
So, which would be that one.
Oh, hell yeah. Loving.
Yes.
Which I didn't even know this was being made, didn't know it was coming out, didn't
right.
know that Jeff Nichols directed it.
Dude, this guy's prolific. Like, he's already made
Seriously,
Midnight
this is
Special.
His second movie this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sell me on it. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about, loving what's loving, and why should we see it? Because of Jeff Nichols obviously is a good director, but anybody can churn out movie after movie after movie. Apparently this is a remake?
I don't know if it's a remake, but it's a story about a actual couple, which was, you know, Mildred and Richard Loving in the 60s, who was an interracial couple.
Ah, okay.
And they married in Virginia and were tried for it as a crime, you know, because it was a crime.
Okay.
And it's got Joel Edgerton, who seems like we've been talking about this whole show, and a new actress named Ruth Negga?
N-E-G-G-A.
N-E-G-G-A.
She is in The Preacher show, by the way. She's in that television show on AMC. I can vouch because watched a couple episodes of that. So.
Interesting. So
yeah.
She plays the... she plays the black woman.
And we'll just leave it at that.
And just spoiler alert, Joel Edgerton plays a white man. And they're married in Virginia in the 60s. And again, don't care. Jeff Nichols... that's enough for me, although the plot sounds interesting, and it sounds different from the kind of stuff that he normally does. I mean, it's like, I assume there's not going to be any aliens or, you know, gigantic tsunamis at the end of this movie.
Right, or tales of swampland intrigue, yeah. A la Mud.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see what he does with the drama like this, with a couple actors like that. I had no idea this movie was being made, no idea that it was coming out.
Let me hit you up with another one for November before we move into December. Okay. La La Land, which I saw the trailer for today.
Yep.
With Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, directed by the guy that wrote and directed Whiplash, with yes. Miles Teller and J. Jonah Jameson. Shit. What the hell's his name?
J.J. Not Abrams. Oh, no, wait. He's J.K. Because there's J.K. Rowling and J.K. then there's Simmons. J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, looks good. Looks interesting. You know, it's a musical. Not too crazy about that, but it actually looks really, really stylish. And
yeah, it looks
super cool.
Yeah,
I love the two leads. I love Emma Stone. I love Ryan Gosling. Can't believe I'm saying that, but after seeing The Nice Guys, I'm like, hey, I love this guy. Like, he can play a part like that. I love it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Emma Stone movies, but she's good. I mean, I'll watch any redhead, honestly. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but, she's good. I mean, you should check her out. By the way, Bad Santa also coming out in November.
Oh, son of a bitch. Bad Santa 2. All right, well, okay, wait. What do you think of that?
What do I think of Bad Santa 2?
Both.
Bad Santa, I think it's funny. I have a hard time watching it because it's a very cruel movie. It's very mean-spirited.
Yes, it is.
I don't like that. It's the same reason that I don't like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because there's, like, no redemption whatsoever. There's no likable part about it. Like,
right.
It's just, I recognize that it's funny, and the movie does make me laugh, but I can't say that I yearn to watch it all the time, because it gives me a yucky feeling. Like, I just don't like it.
I mean,
you know?
I don't yearn to watch it. I just watch it every Christmas where everyone else...
Every Christmas on the day of the birth of Christ, yes. I like to watch Billy Bob Thornton ass fuck someone in a dressing room on the day that Christ was born. You know.
Like Christ intended.
Just the way that the Baptists want us to.
Right, of course. That and Die Hard.
No, it's a funny movie. Yeah. And the fact that there's a sequel being made, I'm interested in. However, it is not... Well, it's not directed by Terry Zwigoff, who is this sort of famous director who made the first one.
Right, but it's directed by the person... I've never seen Mean Girls.
Yeah.
But it is being directed by the person that did... Mean Girls. Well, take that for what you will.
That's interesting. I do like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Mean Girls?
I have not.
What the fuck?
Add that to the list.
Put that on the list.
Put that on the list.
It's... Somewhere between Untouchables and Apocalypse Now.
Those...
No. Mean Girls is a legitimately hilarious movie. Yeah. Although Mean Girls was written, it was a book, first of all, I think, called Queen Bee. And then it was adapted by, you know who?
Who?
Tina Fey, who's also in the movie.
That's
right,
the cool mom. She's the cool mom.
Cool mom, yeah. Well, no, yeah. No.
No, she, that's
she's
that's
a teacher.
Amy Poehler.
The cool mom is Amy Poehler. Yeah.
That's right. I know enough about that movie, because I also know, stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
That's another one, Rachel McAdams is in it. What's his name? Ladies Man from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows is hilarious in it as the principal. Yeah, so really into that. Manchester by the Sea was the movie that took Sundance by storm. That is
really
directed by Kenneth Lonergan. That is big on my list, and a lot of movie nerds were all sort of like stroking our mustaches about Manchester by the Sea, because this is the guy that made You Can Count on Me
back in the day
with Lauren Linney and Mark Ruffalo. He also made an incredible movie a couple years ago, 5 years ago or so, called Margaret, independent movie with Anna Paquin and a bunch of other actors. Really incredible movie. Like, it's a difficult movie to describe.
Okay.
It's about this very sort of tenacious young woman. But what's interesting about the movie Margaret is the sort of emotions that it draws out of you as you're watching it. It's a movie that makes you angry.
Really?
Yeah, it's a movie that makes you angry, and it's just people. It's just, you're just following this one character, but she has the ability, the way she's written and the way the movie is made, has the way this way of drawing emotions out of people, and you watch it, and you can't help but sort of grind your teeth at how much you want to hit this girl.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's a terrible feeling, you know, because she's just a very sort of tenacious young woman.
Yeah.
But she's kind of manipulative, and it's really difficult to describe, and I'm
doing
a terrible job right now. But,
No. It would be like, oh, what the fuck is that movie? A very mean-spirited movie involving Paul Rudd, Rachel Weisz?
The Shape
type
of Things.
Things.
The Shape of Things is an interesting way to relate to Margaret, yes.
Okay.
Many of Neil LaBute's movies, Your Friends and Neighbors, The Shape of Things, In the Company of Men, Margaret is similar to that. Okay. However, I would say that there is more, like, Kenneth Lonergan has a little bit more, there is a little bit more filmmaking prowess there, certainly with Margaret. But yes, it's that, it's kind of that thing. Okay. It's a movie that can make you angry while you're watching it. Yes.
Right, right.
And also sort of laugh and be interested at the same time. But it draws anger out of you.
Okay, well, I'm
definitely would watch Margaret.
Well, then I will check out Manchester by the Sea.
Add that to your list. You need another sheet of paper over
there? I'm running out of room on this little post-it note. All right, December, what do you got?
Passengers, number one.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence. The movie is directed by Morton Tilden, who is the guy who made the movie last year.
The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game, yep. And, I mean, it's like about like sort of a... like starship or whatever. It's a futuristic sci-fi movie. This ship is carrying however many, you know, 50,000 souls through space or something like that. And two of them wake up for some reason, which is the two main characters, Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. And they learn that the entire ship is in trouble and they have to somehow save them. Like, listening to the two actors, reading the article and the two actors talking about the material, like, is really, really fascinating. And I love both of them. I mean, I don't know how you can not.
Right, right, right.
The two of them are really, really exciting. Probably the number one and number two most exciting young actors of their generations, I would guess.
I have...
Certainly in terms of, like, big budget movies.
No, no. I mean, I'm trying to think. Jennifer Lawrence movies and Chris Pratt movies, I've seen all of them now.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
It seems that, or if it hasn't, then I want to go back and I run, you know, write down what movies that I've missed so I can go watch them because they're just, you know, compelling and everything. So.
Yeah, I love both of them.
Yeah. You excited about Assassin's Creed?
No.
No? Okay.
Assassin's Creed wins the award this year for a movie that I can't wait to watch on FX in 2 years. I can't wait to not watch on FX in 2 years.
It's got Michael Fassbender, though.
Through channels.
Michael Fassbender.
I like Fassbender, but man, does it not look good.
No?
Does it? Am I crazy? I never played the game.
Neither have I. Okay. All I know is this. Video game movies... It's just make more fart noises with your mouth because that's that's kind of along the line. And I love video games. I probably play video games more than you do.
Too, absolutely, you do. I mean, that's only because I feel this need to play with my kids. I guess
right to
not
be
in the aforementioned Woody Allen sense. Like, you know, actually, you know, outside playing games and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, no. If I could, if I had more time, if I didn't have these two, you know, albatrosses around my neck, then I would absolutely be playing more video games.
Right, right. So, and, you know, we talk about, I feel like we've talked about Rogue One for a while now, but, I mean, obviously that's going to be the biggest draw that month, right?
Hard not to, it'll make the most money, no doubt. It's probably, you know, if I got to name three movies, you can only see three movies the rest of the year.
Okay.
One spot immediately would be reserved for Rogue One, and then I would have to flip through this magazine and figure out the other two, you know?
Yeah. How about this? Fences.
Fences has been trying... People have been trying to get that movie made for 30 years or more.
Well, apparently it's being directed and starring with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
Yeah,
so,
hell of a cast. I remember that Eddie Murphy was trying to get that made many, many years ago. It was like his dream project and it never happened.
So he made Mr. Church instead.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denzel is like... Can he make anything that you're not interested in seeing?
I'm going to watch anything and everything that he makes.
Denzel is one of the best actors in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you name the five best actors on the planet, Denzel Washington gets a spot.
Right? Yes. Yeah, sight unseen with that one. Yeah. And has been that way, and has been that way now for, God, like what, 20 years? 25 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time. And he might go 6-7 years and not make something amazing. He's not like Meryl Streep, which is everything he does. You're like, holy shit, you know? Like, he makes some stinkers, or he makes something that you just don't care about. And then all of a sudden, every, you know, 6 or 7 years, he's like, well, let me get serious. And then he makes Flight, or something like that. And
right.
Like, holy shit.
Right.
Like, this guy's amazing.
But even when he makes John Q, for example, like, it's not anything that you're just going to just completely write off. Like, you're still going to watch it.
No, it's not bad. Like, at his worst, he's still very watchable.
Right. So as we finally wrap up on the entire... on The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com, formerly known as the Untitled Movie Podcast. I'm looking at Chris. He's looking at one more. Do you got one more?
Well, I did see this movie Gold with Matthew McConaughey, which is interesting to me.
The horrible comb over in the picture.
Awful. Like, he gained, like, 40 pounds, and he's got, like, this awful comb over. It's him and Edgar Ramirez and Bryce Dallas Howard. He plays, like, this guy who's going and trying to make money in, like, the rainforest or something like that, directed by Stephen Gagan with Siriana.
Huh.
This could be Oscar bait. Like, it feels like Oscar bait.
Yeah.
But it also looks interesting.
Well, most movies that are being released between now and December, kind of bleeding into January, but definitely in this time period, is fodder for Oscar bait consideration. Yeah.
And Patriots Day, which is another movie with Mark Wahlberg, which takes place in the Boston Marathon bombing.
Really? So
he's making a Deepwater Horizon and a Boston Marathon movie, like, in the same year.
Man.
In the same season.
Really?
I know.
God damn it.
But there was, like, a 3-day, like, hunt to find these guys or whatever, you know?
Right.
I think it could be interesting.
Really?
I'm interested. This is my season, man. I am so glad that summer's over and that we're having movies like this. Even when they are Oscar bait, like, even when they are, it does feel like... Like, I don't want something that's shameless Oscar bait. It's like, you know, like, acting, you know? Like,
right.
Trying so hard to get an award. Like, Mr. Church is a perfect example. Like, I'm not interested in seeing stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and let me preface my hesitancy about Patriots Days, because there hasn't been a trailer that's come out. We're only reading the little blurb that's in the half column and everything. So yeah. I'll take it with a grain of salt.
And you hate the fucking Patriots.
And I hate the fucking Patriots. Do I hate the fucking Patriots? Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the Patriots.
I hate the Patriots.
Fuck the Patriots. Go Bucks.
Yeah, fuck the Patriots. So, I don't hate them as much as I hate the Panthers. Come on.
No. Get serious. Fuck Carolina, fuck New Orleans, and fuck Atlanta. Absolutely. Go Bucks.
Carolina first and foremost.
That's right. Carolina first and foremost, because they're our biggest enemy right now. But, yeah, I'll see the trailer. I'll give it a chance. I know the Deepwater Horizon. I was like, really, when I'm watching this? And everybody's in the movie theater going, oh.
Yep.
Like an audible, like, shock and awe. I can't believe that we're going to finally see this in dramatization.
But you know who directed Deepwater Horizon?
Yeah, Peter Berg.
Pete Berg. You know what else he directed?
He directed The Rundown. He's directed...
The Kingdom.
Oh, that's right.
Good movie.
That is a good movie.
Yeah, and The Rundown's a good movie. He's a good director.
Yeah, he's a good director.
Nah, he also made Battleship.
He did also make Battleship. I love. See, it's all about balance, ladies and gentlemen. It's not all black and white. It's a whole lot of gray.
Don't get racial.
We were going to end with Midlife Crisis by Faith No More, because we were going to be talking about our birthday movies.
Yeah.
Very last, but because 2016 continues to suck my balls.
Fuck 2016.
We do have to end on a somber note that Gene Wilder has unfortunately passed away. He's died of complications from Alzheimer's disease at age 83, of today. Star of such films, obviously, you know, is three films with Mel Brooks, The Producers, Young Frankenstein, and also De Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and Blazing Saddles, obviously.
This one is sad. I mean, it's like, it doesn't fall into the same category as Prince and David Bowie. I mean, that was like, what? You hear it, and this one's like, ah, you know, because he kind of knew it was coming. Hasn't made a movie in a long, long time. You rarely see him, occasionally in an interview. Apparently had Alzheimer's. It's weird. I feel like I've seen it.
3 years.
3 years only?
Because he had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 1990s, which was right after when Gilda Radner, his wife, had passed away because of cancer in the late 80s. And that was the reason why he dropped out of acting altogether. But I was hearing on NPR this afternoon when I was driving back from work that his nephew had said, and I'm going to do his nephew injustice by not paraphrasing or not, you know, saying exactly what he was talking about. But I guess Mr. Wilder had said that he was aware that he was having Alzheimer's, but he didn't want anyone to know that he had the disease in order to preserve... You know, when he goes out to a restaurant, for example, and all these little kids are at a family restaurant, and, you know, he's the nephew's talking about, like, the experience of going to all these fancy restaurants, but now we're just, you know, trying to play it low-key. But in spite of that, and you have this movie that's been out for damn near 40 years, and everyone knows him as Willy Wonka.
Right.
And so when these kids are looking at him, they have this, like, oh my gosh, is that Willy Wonka? And so he wanted to preserve
that. Kids, it's people our age.
Right. Kids and adults and, you know.
Yeah, everybody. This guy is loved by him.
Yeah, but I guess he was very cognizant on not breaking that moment for people with the knowledge that, well, he's smiling because he's got Alzheimer's or something of that effect. So.
Yeah. It is sad. And he always seemed like the sweetest guy in the world. And you did hear interviews with him in the last 10 years or so, and people to ask him, like, why are you not making movies anymore? He's like, I get scripts, but there's just nothing that's good enough for me to come out of retirement. It's all too violent. It's all too, you know, loud. It's all a lot of cussing and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? He's right. They don't make movies like Young Frankenstein anymore. Like, I'm sure he got a lot of comedy scripts, and I'm sure he got, you know, scripts for Farrelly Brothers movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just don't make movies like Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles.
Well, shit, even when he was in retirement, and he still won an Emmy in 2003, because I guess he had some sort of a bit role on that show Will and Grace.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who, like, people would just, I'm sure, were begging him to do anything on their show or on their movie, because he was so freaking amazing. Like,
yeah.
Just those three movies, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and Willy Wonka, make him, you know, a superstar in the comedy world. But you also got, then you got the whole other thing with his whole relationship with Richard Pryor, which, you know, like, that was a whole other thing that he did, like, second wave there, you know?
Yeah, Stir Crazy and
Stir Crazy, Silver Streak, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, all funny movies, you know? So, major loss, very sad.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that we had done a show in homage to Mel Brooks.
Oh yeah, you like just did that
2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and we were doing you know, different things from Spaceballs. We did that song.
I know.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so, yeah, it stinks. I hate 2016.
You want to watch a comedy masterclass? You watch his opening scene in Young Frankenstein, where he's speaking to the class about, you know, hearts and kidneys are tinker toys. You have more chance of reanimating this scalpel.
And so,
class is dismissed.
So we will leave you with that happy note, but we are also going to leave you with Pure Imagination, as is sung by Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And so we thank you for your patronage. We thank you for the people that have listened this last 1 hour and 38 minutes.
Damn.
For our extra special fall preview extravaganza. Like we had mentioned before, we are off for 2 weeks. We encourage you to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Chris Whetton, pleasure as always.
Likewise.
Thank you so much. I promise to God that during this two-week hiatus, I will watch Jack Reacher and Apocalypse Now.
I can let you borrow a couple of those.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I'm going to need all the help I can get. And so, thank you so much, everyone, and rest in peace, Mr. Walker. Thank you so much.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. Want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
Hurry up, Violet!
This way, Grandpa!
There's no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world, there's nothing to it. Life I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to.